and push those away.
So let us just
draw this chair here.
Which is the most comfortable.
This is, yes, but I'm on the table.
Listen.
Yes.
No.
It's no good.
No.
Because if the frame chair and not the chair, we're out of it.
No.
We're down.
One second.
Please sit down.
What about you, the chair with arms?
It's way not the chair. This is the chair.
Which one?
Do I have a swivel chair?
No, this is
ready. This one.
No
arm.
Doesn't
need arm.
Doesn't have arm.
Try this.
Where am I?
You mean this one?
Yes.
Just try it. When you try it, try it. Try this one. Arms.
Well, it just doesn't have arms. Can you do it?
How about this one here?
All right, he has a chair. Just help him out there.
Forbearance. We've now reached the highlight of our convention. The presence of Moreno Rabbeinu, our Rebbe in our midst, and his willingness to give us a shear ultimately becomes the very essence of this convention. And there's no one, I don't think anyone, who is more suited to give the Rav his formal introduction than our own executive vice president, our own beloved Rabbi Israel Klavan. Thank you very much,
Rabbi Rosenzweig, for the covet you bestowed upon me. This year, marks the 30th year that I'm working with the RCA, and I don't know why, but it's been a year in which I have received a number of kibbudim, all of which are precious to me, but all of which fall by the wayside when compared to this cover today. And what's worrying me is that for the first time in 30 years, I'm going to have the privilege of introducing the Rav to a convention, and I may fluff it. Because over the years, I've always said that those who introduce the Rav at length give you until I finish to complete the whistle. After that, no more whistling. I've always said that one who takes a long time in introducing the Rav detracts rather than is mercy, because there's nothing that you can say which is adequate, and therefore when it's inadequate, the less that you say, the better. And here I am today, and for me it's a very sentimental occasion. I don't want to speak about the Rav, I want to speak about myself. Because for myself, I want to say what being in the midst of the Rav, this period, almost the complete time that I've been in the RCA, has meant for me. I can remember almost like today, the first time when it was the presidency of Rabbi Adams. Remember what year that would have been? Somewhere in the first 50s, 51, 52. Rabbi Adams said at that time that he thinks it would be a wonderful idea if we asked the Rav to serve as chairman of our Halacha Committee. And I remember that I arranged the appointment and we went up to see the Rav and we explained to him what it would mean. And I want you to know that from that moment on, a new era in the history of the RCA began. For me personally, it opened up a whole broad vista that had previously been non-existent. I knew of Lerov. I had been a Talmud of his father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It was my masmich. I had heard Lerov's lectures in the yeshiva, but I had never had the opportunity for a personal relationship. And that opened up a relationship that had continued these low 26, 27 years and has grown in warmth and in meaning for me. So I want to say just a few reminiscences, if I may, of what it has meant for me to have shared the Rav life in a way by being present on important occasions, by having had the privilege of youth consulting him with regularity, of meeting him, of bringing problems, not only organizational problems, but problems that concern Yiddishkeit as a whole, and my own personal and private problems have also had a place where I have been able to bring them. For me, it has changed the entire character and color of my life. It has made it meaningful. It has made it rich in experience. I have had opportunities to witness that which takes place in the world that was sealed, perhaps, to me prior to this. And the Rav has been to us the tower of strength, and I don't know that we really realize it. He has given us our mahus, and very unobtrusively he has set our philosophy, and we have tried very hard to follow that philosophy. The Rav is a teacher, a melamed. He always boasts about the fact that he's a rebbe. But a melamed is not just somebody who teaches you aleph beis. Nicholas Murray Butler once described the mark of an educated person. Knowledge was the last of them. It was the seeking for knowledge. It was an attitudinal one. And that is what he has given us. The ability when we come here and we listen. And it doesn't matter whether Rav reads a paper or whether he learns a blat gemara with us. He opens up always new vistas that were previously closed. This is what he has done for me. I know he has done it for you. There have been moments in the RCA's history which have been critical. He's always been a tower of strength. There have been moments in Jewish life of which people are unaware when his intervention has been so important. If I may, I just want to reminisce one story that I may tell. The Rav will forgive me if I do, but to me it's the one that perhaps remains with me strongest. This happened just about, in 1973 or 4, right after the Yom Kippur War, when all monies were being channeled to the Israelis as necessary, and the important tzedakahs were drying up, and the Vara yeshivas and the yeshivas and the Yehuda yeshivas came screaming about what they were going to do. And finally they sent the delegation here, and we were fortunate in being part of the ability of arranging a meeting with the top brass of the joint about this issue. And the Rosh HaMedabrim, when they came there, where the Rav, the Meshe was there, if the Rav remembers, and it was the Rav, however, who was the spokesman for us. And I want to tell you, just as an illustration of the nature and the wisdom of the man, how he did this. Sitting there, he pulled out a small sheet of paper from his pocket and began to read, and he said, "The gentlemen of the joint who are gathered here, before I can speak to you, I must pay a debt of gratitude that I owe the joint. This debt," he says, "is over 50 years old. So, 50 years ago during the First World War, a little more than 50 years war, I have two memories that I must share with you. They lie on my conscience. If I never had the opportunity to say thank you to you, I must now say thank you." And then he went on to describe in his inimitable fashion a scene when he was a child during right after the First World War, of the children in his cheder dancing with the Rebbe and dancing around and singing, "Thank you, Uncle Joint. Thank you, Uncle Joint." Because that day a shipment of cocoa had arrived for the Jews of Poland sent by the Joint. And it was the first sweet that they had been able to taste in years. And the children had drunk that cocoa. And it meant so much to them that they sang and danced, thanking Uncle Joint for having sent them the cocoa. And then he said, I have another thank you to give you. I went with my father, the Tzadik Levracha, to visit his brother, Abelvo. I think he was in Varsha at that time. And he says, before you could say Jack Robinson, my father and his brother were engaged in a deep controversy about a chat. And my uncle turned to me and said, go in next door and bring in a gemara. And I walked in, and there in the shrank, I saw something I had never seen anything before. A new shas, a new gemara. I never knew, he said, that a gemara could be anything but tatters of sheep, because that's all that we had had during the whole period. And here suddenly I lovingly took out the gemara that was brand new, and on it it said, Matonami HaJoint, a gift from the joint to the Jews. He says, I have to thank you for these two things before I can speak to you. Gentlemen, I was there. He didn't have to speak anymore. The gentlemen of the joint fell all over themselves that day. What is it you want, Rabbi? What is it you want? Anything you ask me for. I remember the Kerman, who was currently president and was then as a vice president, jumped up so fast with a gold pencil in his hand and began to take notes. What is it that you request? The wisdom of being able to approach. This is what I learned. This is what you see. It's a sichat kulin, if you will, but the beauty, and that was what was in it. This is what, having come, I could use a dozen illustrations of a similar nature, of the wisdom of the so-called Malachis that he speaks to us of being. For us, he's been a tower of strength. For me, he has been something even greater than that. When he comes to grace our convention, I think it indeed is a highlight. I can remember the first time we had a Kinnis Tshuva in a little dinky hotel where we could barely get in. We didn't realize that opening it up would bring in, as it did, 3,000 people to the Americana last year. We used a little dinky hotel to bring in our people. I can remember the first time when we went up to Boston to learn the Shiurim. The ability, I don't know what that uncanny ability is, but to open up a Gemara and to listen and to see that there are new windows in it that you looked at before and you saw it and they were not there. And suddenly the greatness of the man in making simple and obvious, which is really so obtruse and complicated. This is the person that I have had the privilege of being in his presence, of being in his mechitza, of being able to learn little things. Some people say I'm smart. Maybe I'm smart because I know when to listen and always do listen to the Chov, I think. This is the source of my wisdom. It's by emanation. And that's why for me today, it is a culmination of so many things, but standing off by itself. The ability to have the opportunity to say to you, it's my thrilling privilege to present to you, but more than that, our Rebbe, the Rav, as we always refer to.
Thank you, Rabbi Klayden, for your introductory remarks. I feel about you as you feel about me. I was not the one who exerted the influence, the Mashpia, and you were the Mekabel. I don't know who influenced whom. But there's no doubt about it that certain things I learned from Rabbi Klayden. And it's hard for me to portray my emotion. I was trained at my home as a child not to display emotion. If you love somebody, love him with your heart and soul, but don't tell it about anybody about it, not even to him. If you are angry at somebody, you may be angry, no doubt about it. But don't tell it to him, nor tell it to others. Be angry within yourself. And always, I mean, I've never received, I told people many times, I've never received a kiss from my father. Never. Even at the time when I departed and I left him, no one knew whether I'll see him again or not. So he just shook my hand and said, Lech l'shalem, Kadosh Baruch Hu Adonai Melech. No doubt about it, people were standing on the platform, and saw this strange behavior, thought this is brisk, which has no concern for the heart, only the mind. The mind is cold, while the heart is so warm and overflowing. And that's why Ramesha could not even kiss his son. It isn't so. I know my father loved me very much, extremely very much. And actually, whatever I possess belongs to my father. Shali v'shalachem shalei. He loved me very much, but he did not express his love. And I'm a friend of Rabbi Kleve, and I cannot portray my friendship for him. But I have a great deal of respect for him. Great deal. As a matter of fact, I'll just add, the Rambam in Pirkei Avos says that friendship is a triple experience, a threefold experience. The first requirement, as a matter of fact, friendship imposes upon the friends a threefold duty, a triple duty. First of all, chover le'ezra, when a friend is in trouble, there's a right knock on the door of his. When somebody's in trouble, so one has the right to knock on the door of the person who is a friend, who has been a friend of theirs, and ask for help. Then my mind speaks of friendship with Yogo, friendship which one experiences while confiding in. Friendship is achieved if I have a faith in somebody and I don't hide anything from him, I confide in him or to him. Both good news and bad news. Which means man must unburden himself of all his worries and fears and doubts, and he can unburden himself only to a person who has absolute unlimited faith and confidence. As a matter of fact, I confided in Rabbi Kleven, and we quite often we used to talk that about the RCA. This took up very little time. What about, I used to confide in him, and he used to reciprocate and confide in me about our own personal worries. Whatever, there is no man, but man is burdened with worries, with fears, with doubts. And thirdly, that my mind requires that the friend be a chover adel, should be a united effort to achieve something great. The same ultimate end, the same purpose, the same goal, the same vision should attract both friends. Their world perspectives should merge into one great perspective. I have differences with Rabbi Kleve, sometimes I have, I still perhaps have, but basically, we are chaverim l'deor. We march, we move toward one destination. And now our outlook on Yahadus is the same. And therefore, I just want to convey to Rabbi Kleven, on behalf of all the rabbonim here, our good wishes for complete recovery and refuah shleima min hashamayim. We should be in the front of the RCA, and lead us all toward greater achievements and greater victories.
Amen.
Now we just read Balei Tzvot. We are about to reach Shlach. As a matter of fact, Chavi Klavan celebrated his 25th anniversary as executive vice president of the RCA. I spoke about this parsha. And I must tell you, last Shabbos, when I was listening to this up here, I said to myself, Yofi Dorasha. Because without my interpretation, it would be very difficult to understand the Sedre, particularly the continuity within it. And if I just remind you, I mean, the crux of my address was that in Balesko, the first half of Balesko, portrays Moshe Rabbeinu ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Mitzeachu esom azen mitzrayim, tagdun esolekim, mitzeachu esom mitzrayim, tagdun esolekim, al hor hazeh." So that Moshe had to implement two purposes, to achieve two objectives. First, to take the people out of Israel. It was accomplished the 15th night of Nisan, of Tzisawan. The second, Tardus Lekim Al Oraze, Meshe was supposed to build the sanctuary, Beit HaMikdash, Nisan. Meshe completed, Meshe implemented both objectives. And the second year, in year, so Moshe was ready, I mean, al pi Hashem, to enter Israel, to go up, to climb up the hill, and to enter Israel. And that's why Balesho, the first half of Balesho consists of stories of isolated events which occurred. For instance, the story about the Tmeim and Nefesh Odom. But this is the completion of Tardus Lekim Al Or Hazeh. I mean, the second Pesach was included in the stipulation, in the agreement between God and Moshe, that before he'll enter Eretz Yisrael, he'll have to complete the Beis HaMikdash and tell the people how to offer and what to offer. And in case of Tumah, how to act in a situation like that of the Tmeim. That's why the Torah tells us the story from Tmeim and Nefesh Odom and Baal Eisro, not in vain, that with clearing up this problem, Moshe paved the way to march to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Torah tells us, Vayisa Degel Ruven Degel Machne Yehuda Leboreshenu. Did this happen in the Midbar many times? But the first time when Degel Machne Yehuda, I mean, started to move, it was, I mean, the destination was not another stop in the Midbar, but Eretz Yisrael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, in his conversation with his father-in-law, and Moshe's request that the father-in-law should join them, and Moshe says, Kadishem Dibatein Val Yisrael, God has good intentions as far as they are concerned. And the good will share with it. Moshe did not appear to Moshe when he spoke, when he was conversing with his Yisrael, that he himself will never enter outside. The means Moshe was convinced that he will be among those who cause the real job. And finally, we sit by Yisum Har Hashem, Derech Reshet Yomim, Varein Al Hashem Helech Lifneim. This is the march to Eretz Yisrael. This is the final march to Eretz Yisrael. That is, had Eretz Yisrael been invaded by Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said it so many times, so often, the whole Jewish history would have taken a different turn, and this would have been, our destiny would have been changed from top to the bottom, A to Z. From A to Z. And that's why I said, Vahid and Seah Oren, when the Oren Arena breeze began to move, About whom was Meshev talking? About the enemies and the foes in Eretz Yisrael. It's the final march, the final war, the final victory, and that's all. But something happened. The first half of Bala Yisro is the book that contains the story of the final preparation on the part of Moses and the Jewish people before entering the Eretz Yisrael, which was supposed to lead to Kibush Oret by Moshe, not by Yisro. And then you know very well that there are two psukim, Vayibe Seorim, Uvinuche Yema, and there are two nun afuchim, and there is a gap. There is something, I mean, no continuity. What happened? What happened? The greatest catastrophe in human history. Vayi Yom Kimisenim. The people began to complain. They began to display dissatisfaction. They themselves didn't know what to do. They themselves didn't know what they want. They were missing nothing, but they were dissatisfied. And here the great vision came to an end, was not implemented. And following the Kivrei Sataro, the graves of the people who are desirous, of the people who cherish Adonai and just pleasure. We are pleasure-oriented and centered. Those people change the whole background. And the promise that from Mitzrayim they'll march straight to Eretz Yisrael was not fulfilled. The fulfillment had been delayed. Right after that, we will read this Shabbos, Parsha Shlach. And Shlach was postponed for quite a long time. And the way the book in Shlach tells us, namely for 40 years. Today, it means as Sidim HaFold used to say. The Avelis of Ben Amtzorim begins on Shabbos Parsha Balesra. Shabbos Parsha Balesra, we read a story of Goges, 40 years in the river. The story of whom, which became perhaps the main topic of our historical studies. And I want just to interpret two psukim in Parsha Balesra. Uvieshim chasam uveadichem uvoroshi chotchichem uspaitem vachatetos ala vetechem valtifche shalmechem voyo lachem uzitorem lifne lekechem. Second, chisovem uchom abaratchem ala tzar atzir lachem varehisem vachatetos ונזכרתם לפי הלשם ולכיכם. אני הלשם ולכיכם. It means before the story of the Nisarim, the episode of the Nisarim occurred, there was no need to say וחיסוב ונוחם הבאות חברה צער הטרס. It would have never happened if Moshe had implemented the promise and entered Eretz Israel with the people. No whom, no hand, no matter how powerful and strong the hand was, could have changed, could have taken the Jews, could have they exiled the people from Eretz Yisrael, or could have caused whom desolation. After Moshe's share in Knisas Oretz and entering Eretz Yisrael was reduced to zero, because of the sins committed by the members of the congregation of Israel, so the Torah has added another pasuk: "Chisovim uchom abaratchem alatzar atzir etchem, varehisim chatzitzres." Jewish history will not just not be just long, long festival. Long, long Vilensim Chaster Umeadechem in Rosh Hashanah. It will not be one long simcha, joyous holiday, celebrating on which we will celebrate our victories. Sometimes the Chatzitzes will announce joy and happiness and victory, but more than often they will announce distress and disaster at home. Now the second pasuk. Is due to the fact that Moshe's share in Knesset HaAretz was reduced to zero. And Knesset HaAretz was delayed for an undetermined period. What does the mitzvah mean? The Solomon Chom Ba'atz HaMalatar HaTeres Va'areis and the Chatzitzes tell us. What kind of a mitzvah is it? Let us take a look at Rambam. But I'm sorry that line was cut off because we wanted to get as much as possible on one page. So I have to read the first line in the Rambam, which is the Minyan HaMitzvah, the line which belongs to the table of the Mitzvahs. Mitzvah Saseh Hilchas Taniyot. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Yachas contains the one Mitzvah. Vehi litzeik lifnei Hashem, and I emphasize again, litzeik is a tzaddik. He litzeik. I checked many Rambam. Litzeik is a tzaddik, not lizezayin. You can say lizei, the same spelling. The difference in C's come in J, just in the tzaddik and the zayin. Litzeik lifnei Hashem, the choleis tzorok delo shlei tovei al hatzibur. It should have been Shetovi al HaTzibur, or Shalei Tov al HaTzibur. It is one commandment to cry unto the Almighty at the time of disaster, which strikes the people, may strike the people. Again, Mitzvah HaSei Achas, V'Hilitzei Klifnei HaDeshem, V'Chol Eihi Eis, Tzoro G'deilo, Shleitove al HaTzibur. I mean, I believe it is what I said is audible or not. Then the text. And Ram writes the text. Mitzvah Sasei Min HaTero. He follows the it's almost identical with his Nuska, with the text in the Min HaMitzvah. But Lizeit. Not Litzeit, but Lizeit. We design both are synonym, Shemesh and Adofim, and both are prima facie, good to express, for expressing, the basic aloha. Shtakol tzoro shetov al hatzibur, shnena al hatzar hatzer reschem, vareitzem v'chatzitzris. Kleina kol dova shiyeitzer lochem, v'in batzeres, v'dover v'arvei, Any kind of catastrophe, be it war, be it economic nature, be it agricultural, like starvation, agricultural catastrophe, disaster, like famine, and so forth. How does he know? Shenema al hatzar hatzeres. Whenever you feel on a tight spot, minamitza, and you face suffering, and you are confronted by disaster, so what's your duty? Zaku haleyan vihoriyo. Zaku haleyan vihoriyo. Cry or supplicate because of this disaster, this trial. Veyoriyo, and blow the shofar. The interesting is that when he defined the mitzvah as far at the very beginning, he did not mention chatzitzes. V'hi litzeik lifnei Hashem b'chol eretz. That's all. Didn't say it to chatzitzes. In text, already he mentioned Chatzitzes. But in text, when he mentioned Chatzitzes, he changed the tzaddik into a zayin. Not Litzov, but Litzov. I mean, you might call it total interpretation of Rambam. It is total interpretation. This is the way I do things. But it intrigues me. Such a slight variation. Sometimes unnoticeable. It always intrigued me, and it still intrigues me. Why is it so? But however, we don't have any Kasimish here. So another problem to be resolved. The Rambam should have counted the two psukim as two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to blow the chatzitzes on holidays and days of joy, the simchas v'madechem v'rosh chodeshim. Another mitzvah is to blow the chatzitzes in times of crisis and suffering. There is no reason under the sun why the Rambam should take both psukim and combine them into one mitzvah and introduce this mitzvah into the table of Tayag mitzvah. The Akesef Mishnah asks the question. It makes no sense. That the mitzvah is related to Chatzitzes, what difference does it make? But conceptually, as far as the substance of the mitzvah is concerned, as far as the implementation of the mitzvah is concerned, I mean, those two psukim represent two separate ideas. And there are many Rishonim, actually, who counted Yisim Chassan Madechem Rosh HaShechem one mitzvah, and Chisov Nuchom Ba'atzchem Al Atzar Atzir Atzchem a second mitzvah. As the Mishnah writes, Veruisi l'Rabbeinu, b'Perek b'Sefer HaMitzvos, Shleimono Tru Azu, means Chesed Muhammad and Chesed Muhammad Ba'atz Matzar Atzresen, Utkia Shebishas HaKabonis, b'Mitzvah Achas, V'Toma Ani Lomo, Sharei Shnei Psukim Eim Bakosu. That's the Mishnah says. In my opinion, there is no doubt that the Rambam counted only ours, the two Psukim, appear in Rambam, as far as the table of Tayag Mitzvahs is concerned, as one. There's no doubt about it. But the interpretation is wrong. It's not that Rambam counted both psukim as one mitzvah. No. One posuk he counted as a mitzvah, the other posuk he did not count as a mitzvah. Not he count both as one. No, this is not correct. He one pursuit. I mean, he considered, I mean, as a separate autonomous mitzvah. The other pursuit apparently related to something else, and he did not count. He did not consider it as a separate mitzvah entity. So of course, if one pursuit is considered as a separate autonomous mitzvah entity, and the other pasuk he did not consider as such, so he counted only one mitzvah. Let me just explain what I have in mind. And for this purpose, you have to read the Rambam's definition of chatzitzes, which used to be blown by the Kohanim in Beis Hamikdash on days of joy and holidays of Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting to see how the Rambam defined this mitzvah. And the Rambam says as follows, in Perek Gimel Milchas Klei HaMikdash. I don't know exactly the number of the halacha, but it's Perek Gimel Milchas Klei HaMikdash. Where he enumerates the duties of the Levim as far as Shirei Arkon is concerned. B'nei HaNei Adei Sfurom, on the holidays, ובראש החודשים ושרש ויעקי ענים תקין בחצי צריס בשעס הקורבן when the korban was offered, the kohanim used to blow the chatzetzes. The alvim emrim shira, and at the same time, the levim recited shira. Shira means voice singing, singing. Shneimar uveyin simchasrem of meyadechem uveroshe kotechem uspaitem b'chatzetzes ala lesechem v'alziv reshalmechem v'elochem l'deporen lifnei lekech. What is remarkable about this definition? Something is very remarkable. And I don't know. The Rambam derived it from a Masechet Tomi, even though it's not explicit in a Masechet Tomi. But apparently this was his conclusion. The Kohanim used to blow the Chatzetz Reis while the Levim recited Shire over the Korban. For the Kohanim taking the Chatzetz Reis b'shas ha'Korban, the Alvim Emrim Shiro. It means there was simultaneity. Simultaneously with the Levim or recited the Shire, the Kohanim used the Chatzetzes, they blew the Chatzetzes. When did the Levim say Shire in Beis HaMikdash? When? Where? Me at all? Because HaKorban can be interpreted in a variety of ways. Because HaKorban can be interpreted in terms of Zrikes, Zrikes Adam. Can be interpreted with Shas Kabbalah, during Kabbalah Sadah. Or in Maktor Simulim. When did you even blow the name in the wind, recite Shire, sing the Shire? When they offered in the Sefer. Why? Why? Because they named him Shiro El Alayai. When you say Shire, the Shire has got to be related to something. And Shire relates itself to no other mashke, liquid, and no other drink, but yai. Achadalti, the posuk in Shifte. The Lord says, Lelekim Vodom, Yeni Lelekim Vodom. Will I stop supplying the Almighty with wine? The Geffen said, when she was invited to become the president of the Federated, loosely federated 12 Shvatim. Levim used to say Shire during Nisuch HaYayin. And the Nisuch HaYayin, the Chazal did portray, was symbolically considered as Achila Ushtiyah. Mainly Shtiyas Yayin. In other words, Kias Chatzetzreis was not conceived, according to the Rambam, is not a separate mitzvah, but it is one of the aspects of Shire. Of course, it differs from the Shire recited by the Levim in two respects. First of all, the Kohanim recite Shire instead of the Levim. The Kohanim blow the Chatzetzreis instead of the Levim. Instead of Levim. Secondly, with regard to Levim, please. With regard to Levim, is Ikar Shire Beteh. Is the main performance of Shire consists in singing, not in playing the instrument. They used to have instruments too which they played in Levim. But this was a peripheral matter. This was not the main performance. This was not identical with the main performance of Shire. Here, the Torah required that the Kohanim play the instrument or blow the Chatzetzreis. It means the Torah said that there is another kind of Shire which consists in the play of playing the instrument, the Chatzetzreis, but it's not a separate mitzvah. It is a part of mitzvah Shire. Mitzvah Shire was divided, split, so to say, between the Kohanim and the Levim. The Levim sang, and the Kohanim blew the Chatzetzreis. It was done together simultaneously during Nisuch HaYayin. In other words, Chatzetzreis must be blown not just at any time, should be blown not just at any time, but at the time of Nisuch HaYayin, because a name of Shira El HaYayin In other words, so what is the playing of Hafetzres? I mean, what is this? What is the significance of Hafetzres? Not as a new mitzvah. Because if it had been a new mitzvah, there would be no need to have the Hafetzres, be blown at the time of Nisuch HaYayin. Because the whole halacha in Enum Shir HaYayin would not have applied to Hafetzres. Since the Rambam requires simultaneity for the Hafetzres and the recital of Shire of the Levim, by the Levim, so the conclusion is plain, obvious, that the Rambam considers Hafetzres as an aspect or an integral part of what? Of Shire. It differs from Shire as far as to the personnel. There are Levim, Shire, Levim, Hafetzres. Is performed by Kehlin and so forth, but basically, conceptually, it is the same mitzvah. This is the mitzvah Amira Shire Alakom Al-Dekeinim Ulvim Ulvim Bepeh Ve'akeinim Bechatzetres Ve'kulo Ve'kushire Zuya Inon Emeres Elo Bishas Nisuf שאיננו משיר על היין, אלא בשעת ניסוח. That is the reason which motivated the Rambam to count the two psukim as one mitzvah. Why? Because the posuk where in Simchat Mamadechem ובראש יחודשיכם וזכיתם בחפטרס על רציכם ועל זיפרי שלמיכם should not be counted as a separate mitzvah, as a separate, as an autonomous entity, because it's not a new mitzvah which was disclosed to the people, but what? A new aspect, a new component part of the general mitzvah of Shire, which the Rambam counts as one of the mitzvahs to Yah. However, the second person constitutes a new mitzvah, indeed. We don't have any other mitzvah which should, so to say, embrace or include the mitzvah of, so the Ram was compelled to count this mitzvah in Hilchos Tanis as a separate entity, as a separate unity. However, the mitzvah from Yeshim Chasman Ma'adechem, ובראש יחודשיכם, the mitzvah of Yisrael Chasson Madechem ובראש יחודשיכם, there was no need to count this posuk as a mitzvah, because the posuk is included, the mitzvah is included in the general universal mitzvah of Shir HaShir, of Shiro B'Migdosh. The only difference is that Shiro B'Migdosh, by the Levim, consists in singing, while by the Shiro B'Migdosh, perform vakenim consists in blowing chafetzres. This is the reason. Not the Rambam took two psukim and combined them into one mitzvah. One posuk he considered as an integral part of a mitzvah which was disclosed already and formulated already, namely Mitzvah Shire in Peredim and Milchus Klei HaMikdash, it says. The Levi, same Pered. The Levim are supposed to sing Shire during Amin Dakrov HaSakom, at the time of Nisuch HaYayin. And the Shire, what did he do? Instead of counting Chafetzres as a separate mitzvah, he immersed Chafetzres into the general mitzvah of Shire. And Levim and Kehilim are duty bound, obligated to do the Avedas Hashir, even though the manner in which this performance, this Avedas is performed,
by cleaning differs from the manner in which it's performed by Levi. This is the true answer. Now, so you don't have to talk a lot about the mitzvah from Yesim Chasam Adechem Rosh Chodeshechem. It's enough if we'll say this mitzvah did not disclose anything new, a new obligation, a new duty, a new concept. It is the mitzvah of Shire, which is split between the Levim and the Kohanim. The Levim say Shire, the Kohanim say Shire, and both together perform the mitzvah Shire, Bishreimutso. I mean, completely. What I am interested is to understand the second person. What kind of a mitzvah is it? This is completely new. There is no other pasuk in Chumash which makes even a hint or an allusion to such a duty. To blow chatzetre, so when there is a threat of war, or when the community is confronted with disaster, is exposed to danger, so I have to blow chatzetre. What is it? What kind of a mitzvah is it? What kind of a mitzvah? I believe the answer is simple. It is a mitzvah to engage in prayer and supplication whenever the community is faced with disaster. The mitzvah word is to offer Hashem at the time of war or distress, any kind, when the community finds itself in trouble. This is it. So, if you read carefully Shlomo HaMelech's dedication speech of the address, so he emphasizes it. In Shlomo HaMelech, all tefillahs are connected with sorrow, with suffering, with pain, with desolation. And this, what is the source of that kind of a mitzvah? Is the Areisem v'chatzitzos means to pray, to supplicate, to petition God, to simply to ask for mercy. It's quite interesting is that the two psukim represent two mitzvahs. The first pasuk represents the mitzvah shire, that a man is supposed to sing when he's happy, or the community is supposed to sing when it is victorious and successful, like at the time of Solomon, the time of David, and the community was victorious, or the time of the splitting of the Red Sea, or the transformation of Israel, as Hashira says. The second passage speaks of zoka, of crying, of weeping, of petitioning God, of supplicating God in times of suffering and distress. The psukim have combined. It's one part, and it belongs into Achrimeis, because before the great change in the destiny of the people occurred, so you detailed expected the people to celebrate just the Mesim Chasam of Madechem Rosh Chodesh. But after the disaster struck and the march of Israel was delayed, so not only march, a physical march was delayed, more than that, the whole destiny changed. And the new destiny which the people faced, it was one, a mixed one, of sadness and joy, of victory and defeat. We've been defeated many times. We've been victorious just a few times. And in Baal Yisrael, where the whole Jewish destiny has changed, because Meshe was eliminated from the march to Eretz Yisrael. 40 years hence, Meshe was not participating in the march, but he was there. The Psukim portrayed the destiny of the people. And it is a strange destiny. Even in the modern history, is not uniform, and there is a lack of continuity. It happens suddenly, I mean, unexpectedly. Surprise is a very important element in our history. I said the last week to someone, when speaking about the state of Israel, the state of Israel did not come into existence the way other political entities came into existence. But they take the American Republic, it came into existence. It started with colonizers, people colonized, tried to colonize America, to settle America. Little by little, they organized in political unities, first municipalities, then states probably, and so forth. Finally, at the apex, when they reached the apex, they proclaimed the United States as the 13 colonies, as a political entity, as a sovereignty, and so forth. There is, you see what you call it, there is development. There is a base, there is growth, there is an apex. But state of Israel did not come in such a way. It's a mistake that some people think like that. After the Second World War, 1945-46, when Begin became, after Churchill was defeated in the election, right after and during the Potsdam the conference here, and Begin became the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Begin was determined, people told me earlier, to terminate the Zionist movement and to drive the Jews out of Eretz Yisrael and to turn over Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs. So Zionism, or the Shiva Sion movement, reached its low in the first post-war year, in the late 40s. And many people gave up the idea. Leading Zionists told me that time, no use fighting. We have no strength, we have no ammunition. America was not very sympathetic, don't forget, it was the time following the regime of FDR. If FDR had been alive, there would have never been a state of Israel, don't tell it anybody. It's a secret, confidential news. But it is so. And Truman himself didn't know what to do about it. And suddenly, out ex nihilo, out of nothingness, the state of Israel came into existence. How? What made it come into existence? What generated it? What precipitated it? I don't know. Nor do the Jews in Eretz Israel know what it is. Suddenly, the Chisol Nuchom Ba'at from the Tzar of Teresim, Eretz Israel was about to be wiped out by the Rommel army, that they're aware of it. And this itself is a miracle that Rommel was defeated by Raymond Montgomery. There is no doubt that Rommel was defeated by Montgomery. It is because if Rommel had won the war, the battle, there would have been no state of Israel now. No state of Israel, no issue of Israel. And suddenly, we reach the apex, the climax. State of Israel, political entity, sovereignty. It's a very strange. But this is the kind of historical destiny that the Jews have been facing since the days of Barisol, of the story of Barisol. Now there is one question as far as the Rambam is concerned. The Rambam is of the opinion that base at Soret, one should not ignore Soret, should not ignore distress. He should react to distress. React with what? Of course, he can defend himself, protect himself against distress, so he's obligated to do so. We have a very, our philosophy that of activism, of the good vis-à-vis the evil. We are allowed, not allowed, we are commanded, to actually to try to defeat evil and to protect man against the onslaught of satanic forces. You know very well we have accepted medicine, I mean, without reservations. Don't forget they are still Christian denominations which have not accepted modern medicine. The Jew had never any problem about medicine. The only problem is the doctor should be an expert and know what you are in and understand how to heal. Also, we have got to be active in this prayer. If we can be active, I mean, in a variety of ways, by employing natural means, we are certainly obligated to do. But we have got to react to evil. To evil, this prayer. A special mitzvah to pray during the time of suffering and crisis. Yes. The question is, so it means suffering, evil, what? Let us read the Rambam, the text of the Rambam again. Mitzvos asei achas yi litzei klifnei adeshem becholei sorog deo shalei tove ala tibur. This is in the table of the mitzvos. Then in the text he writes Mitzvos asei aminatero lizei kulo ria bechatzitzvot al kol tzoro shetove ala tibur. He uses the term litzeit while he speaks with regard to me and amitzvahs, while he uses in the halachas the mitzvah itself is he changed the tzaddik into Zion and substituted lizok for litzok. What is the distinction between lizok and litzok in general? Very similar. Sometimes they say Shemea kills Zoroko, sometimes they say Shemea kills Zoroko. What is it? Did you ever think about the difference? What is the difference? Azayin and Tzadik, I mean. Let's just try simply to play around with these two synonyms, Shemes and Adam. I consider, I believe that I have good capability for Hebrew semantics. Because I was born into the Hebrew language. I don't know Hebrew, but I was born into the Hebrew language. Anyway, Litzok means in Hebrew, please. Litzok in Hebrew means basically to complain. To complain. To charge. Litzok. To complain. Whether it is done in a loud voice or in a whisper, doesn't matter. Matters not at all. We are usually allowed, accustomed to say that tzorek means he protested aloud, not in a whisper. Not quietly, but in a loud. It's soccer. You ever thought it's soccer? It's soccer. And it isn't so. This in Tanakh, the way that Tanakh uses the word literally, it means to complain. Whether in a whisper, quietly, or I protest publicly, in a loud voice, is secondary. It's a secondary question. It has no primary significance. For instance, for a kalmon of the Yosin Leisamon, voyen tzorek yitzak alay, veshomaitu techanunon, what's the word Yitzhak Aloy to mean he'll yell, he'll shout, he'll raise his voice. It's ridiculous. How can the Torah speak like that? No. But really, to Yitzhak Aloy, he'll complain to me. As a justice, God is the judge. God is the judge, sitting in judgment of other people. He'll bring a complaint to me, the way one brings a complaint to Paul against his neighbor. Yitzhak Tzorek means to protest. Vishya achas min shei anevilin tzorako al alisho lemer. Avdoch ha'ish emez. What means tzorak al alisho lemer means she yelled, shouted. No, the Talmidim wouldn't have let her shout. She would have stopped her shouting. Was it complained? Complained. Lizot has an additional meaning, has an additional connotation. Namely, it has the connotation of mobilizing, of assembling, of congregating. Vayazek Borok, as Vulunless Naftoli Ketchup, possibly. And there are many, many more. Many more places, passages in the Bible, where Zoic imperial for Hazek. Hazek is meant in the sense of prayer. It denotes prayer as well, prayer, like tzoko, complain, as well as a summons addressed to others to do likewise and to join me in prayer. To join me in prayer. The best example is, who knows the Megillah Esther by heart? Vayizak Zoko Gdela Omora. And he cried with a loud and bitter cry. Why was it necessary for Mordechai to cry aloud? Does the Almighty need a loud cry? What's the answer? Mordechai didn't do that because he became hysterical. Mordechai was not hysterical. He summoned the community to join in the prayer. Particularly, he challenged Esther. See, she joined him in prayer, and if she joined him in prayer, she'll do something to help the people. Interesting is, I just want to give you two examples. Vayizak Shmuel Hashem Kol Halayla. Don't say Vayizak Shmuel. Vayizak Shmuel Hashem Kol Halayla. Why was it necessary for Shmuel to engage in Zoko? Shmuel summoned the people to join him in prayer for Saul. Had the people done so, the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been mitigated, and Shmuel wouldn't have lost his kingdom. Such a story we have also about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu lost his plea with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe pleaded and supplicated HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, and his prayer was rejected, not accepted, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for the community to join Moshe in prayer and to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they cannot exist without Moshe. Had the community acted like that, Moshe would have entered the Eretz Yisrael, and again, Jewish history would have had a different appearance. It would have been different. But the people did not understand to pray for Moshe. They knew, but Moshe told them quite often about the decree which was sealed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and against which he tried to pray and supplicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was not succeeded. And if you read just the parasha of Eschanan, you see how Moshe steals in his eyes, tells them something which they did not understand. Where is Eschanan al-Veshem, where is Eilele? I pray, no one else. Adeshem Elikim Atach Eleso La'aretz Le'avdecho. La'avdecho, I didn't say La'av Yisrael, La'avdecho. There's God for us, Yotcha Chazot. Hashem Mikim Hashemayim La'aretz. Hashem Yatzachim Asech V'Rosech. Hebron, let me just cross the Jordan just for a short while. He was ready to settle this quotation marks conflict for entering Eretz Israel and dying. But he wanted to just to cross the Jordan. Hebron of Eretz, Oretz, Tabor. There is the Halvoni. Vaisabei Radishem, be, because I was a lonely, a solitary, prayerful person. I prayed, no one else joined in with me. Vayemar Hashem Ravlo, Vaisabei Radishem, be, Lemanche. What is Lemanche? Meshe did not enter this world for a different reason, because he did not address himself to the Rach, and instead of addressing himself, he then hid the Rach with him. It's not the Machen, not the fault of the army Israel, that Meshe made a mistake. The answer is, it is the Machen, but they had the sensitivity and the law for Meshe in a manner similar to that law which Meshe felt for them. They would have torn the decree apart in the shed of paper. Therefore, the man. At this juncture, we begin to understand what the link between Zoroto and Chatzetzres consists of. The Ram says, Lizekuleoria da Chatzetzres. It's apparently written, the Tera says, Vareisen Chatzetzres. The Tera didn't say anything about Zorko. The Rambam added the word, Lizekuleoria. Where did the transition, I mean, plain semantically, from Lizek to Leoria da Chatzetzres? Where is the transition? Where is the common denominator, the link, which unites both of them? And the Ram was careful when he wrote, so okay, didn't try Lizei Kuloria Machatzetzos. No, the Ram was very careful about it. But however, when he mentions the term Zoko, he's right away. He's Lizei Kuloria Machatzetzos. So where is the link? The link is simple. Chatzetzos, basically the purpose of Chatzetzos is to gather the people. Well of all the mass, the micro ego, the mass is a mass. And Chazal in Rosh Hashanah say, Chatzetzres beit tainiyes, knufyo hi, mishum knufyo. The fact that he blow Chatzetzres and etones is because Chatzetzres is the signal, so to say, for the people to assemble and to join the king or the Sanhedrin in any enterprise, particularly in prayer. Chatzetzre al pi aloche, is Chatzetzre symbolizes to the act of congregating, of assembling, of joining the community, I mean, in prayer and in supplication. The mitzvah Chatzetzre netones is concerned with congregating the people. And in fact, the pasuk says so. Voila for the micro ego and matzah samachnes. That's why the Rambam united Zoko with Chatzetzres. Because they are one the forum, one mitzvah. To pray, but not only for myself in isolation, in retreat, but to pray and to draw in as many people as possible into prayer and create a prayerful community of individuals who display what? Who display love for those who suffer. We know that, I mean, there is another episode in Tanakh where Tainis, and Tainis is Chatzetzres, the same. Tainis and congregating, I mean, were united and declared identical. Which one? Huh? Und dann noch ein Tanach, ein Instant Tanach. Esther, lech nechis kolayim. Vizimu alai, shweishi yomen. Why was it necessary? Because since Mordechai zot ogdeu omor, Mordechai involved her in prayer and in action, and was she the one who was ready to sacrifice her life. But this is Mordechai accomplished it by his zoroko, by his call for prayer, by his summoning the people, all Jews, the queen and the woodchopper, to join him in prayer and to protect the Klal Yisrael from annihilation. So Esther told him, "Yes, I'll go. I join you, but you should remember that the entire community should be united as far as prayer is concerned. United in prayer. That lech nesis kol hayonim. And tanis and kikinus are identical, just synonyms. Because don't forget that tanis, the term tanis was coined by the Chachmeara. Teresh Barbeh. By the Talmud and Midrashic authorities. The name for Tainis in Tanakh is Tzema. Tzema Asiri, Tzema Rvi. What does Tzema mean? What does Tzema mean? What does Tzema mean? Tzema, what is Tanis, you understand? Tanis means we suffer. We inflict suffering upon us. A day of affliction, of pain. The time is in the nefesh. Yeah. But what is pain? What is pain? No, Tzamo says seven drachose. Tzamo is a braid. Braid. Tied together, like braid. Yeah, like braid. Tzamo says the drachose. Tzuma Sagirin. Tzuma Sagirin. What is Tzuma Sagirin? Did you ever see Tzuma Sagirin in a towel? No, not in Tigano. It is just tied together. Tzuma Sagirin. This is Tzuma. Why should Tzuma? Or is that Tzuma of Korea? Yeah. Why should Tones be translated into Tzuma? Which actually whose meaning is congregating, tied together, woven together, united, because Chatzetres are the symbol of Tainis. And Chatzetres is the Maso Edo, the Mikro Edo, the Maso Samachnes. Chatzetres, the meaning of Chatzetres, and the Kima Mitzvah, the fulfillment of the Chatzetres, is not just in prayer. But prayer which unites, prayer which takes individuals with love for each other and turns them into one community, into a mystical, metaphysical entity. And that's what Esther told Mordechai. If you succeed in doing that, in taking all Jews of Shusha and uniting them and into a great community, then I'm sure I'll succeed in my mission and I'll save the people. This is the mitzvah zoke. Mitzvah zoke is lihistalel or levakesh tachnun in the rachamim, not in solitude, but in company, b'tzibur. That's what the Ramallah is, and this is the purpose of Chatzetres as well. That's why the Rambam did not separate the word lizeik from lorir b'chatzetres. It's one purpose, one end, it's one performance. As a matter of fact, zioko, as the performance which unites the people and involves them in matters in which they have no interest. The Jews in Shushan did not have any interest in it. They didn't care, they said it will not happen, you know how it happened. And Moshe, Mordechai dragged them in, involved them almost Involuntarily. Involuntarily, he dragged him in. This is the offer. Pray to God and summon others to join you. And make out of them one community, a great community, one unity, one entity. Because the offer is based, and this is not, it would have never occurred to me, but what happens, that the Ram happened to say so. The offer is based upon an act of sympathy and compassion. The individual is supposed to arouse the community and protect it from distress. Love for the people, love for the people is indispensable for the occult. And the Rambam says, Dimrei Yitzhaku, interesting. Dimrei Yitzhaku, just a minute. Dimrei Yitzhaku, Velei Yoriu, interesting. Yitzhaku Yoriu. Elohim, we double zero min Adreila, Miralonu. It's a natural occurrence, you can't change much. The Torah is Nitro, Nitris, it just happens. This is the method of cruelty. This is cruel. Why is it cruel? Because the author expresses the love of the Yochid for the community and vice versa. The dedication of the community to the individual. Right, we understand now that the offer cannot be identified with tefillah. The offer certainly cannot be identified with tefillah. The Rambam never said, Lispalei Uloriya Bachatzer. Never said. But apparently between the offer and tefillah, there is a gap separating the offer from tefillah. The gap, I'll just enumerate a few things. But certainly, tefillah is not to call the people to pray. Because before Chazor HaShashat, we say tefillah belachash. And tefillah belachash means a solitary prayer. A solitary person prays. Tefillah in isolation. Belachash, people should not overhear it. This conversation is done by them. Complete privacy. And Chazor HaShashat, you know why it was introduced, I don't have to tell you. But simply people didn't know how, they were not literate. Didn't know how to recite the prayers. But there is absolutely the vow in as far as things concerned, only I exist and I know that I stand before the Almighty. No one else exists. No one else. It's an exclusively private, solitary, what shall I say, communication between man and God. This is not consensus. It's just the opposite of consensus. So that's why the Ram calls Lizei Kumaria. Because Satetris is the symbol of Lech Knis, as far as I know. Yes, this is the author. What is Tziroko, this is Tziroko. What is Tziroko? I know that, they complain. They say, in one regard, Tziroko and Zoko are identical. It means in Tziroko there are two elements. One element, the element of complaining, of charging, of crying, Spitzoriki Yitzhakalai. The second element, the second component part, is involvement of others. Of course, I mean, Chatzetres continue. Chatzetres, which element justifies Chatzetres? The element of uniting them together. Aflechtnes, correct. But, and in regard to that lechtnes, Zorke differs from Tfilah. In Tfilah there is no lechtnes, in Tfilah on the contrary. The Yochid stands before the Almighty. This is the monologue of the Yochid who stands before the Almighty. Who is Adishem Echot, and also Yochid, but in absolute sense of the word. This is killing. Ziote means I don't exist. I alone don't exist. I exist within the community, within the man. And my existence is justified because I feel love for the community. And I identify myself with the suffering community. This is Zoroko, and that leads to repentance. But the first element of Zoroko as complaint couldn't have led to repentance. Could you combine the first element of Zoroko, or exactly this is Zoroko, this tefillah? The second element in Zoroko you couldn't combine this tefillah. Because, as I said, this is Yochid Legabi Yod Legabi Achot, and this is the Tzibu, and this is the Broad, the Tzibas HaTzibu, in the full sense of the word. I get involved with the Tzibu and I summon the Tzibu to pray in Israel. Yeah, but the element of Zoroko is exactly the first element of Zoroko, or what we call, what Ram calls Zoroko. Is there any transition from Tzoroko to Tfilah, or there is no transition from Tzoroko to Tfilah? You understand my question? In what regard does Tzoroko differ from Tfilah? The Rambam never mentions that based on Tzoroko Yolun is power. Either it says Lizek or Ria, or it says Lizek, or Lizek. And you say, either it says Lizek or Ria, he always is careful to say Lizek or Ria. But he sometimes will say Lizek with Nesher, like in the first line here. Apparently not Lizpala with Nesher, but Lizek with Nesher. What's the difference between Zoroko, or element component part number one in Zoroko, and Tfile? What's the difference? How does it differ? Basically, Tfile is a structure prayer. There are architectural designs to Tfile. Tfile is strictly organized. It consists of brachas, of benedictions. Each benediction is very well organized. Shem, Malchut, Ato, Hu, Guf Rishi, Guf Sheni, Guf Shlishi, and then the deed is described, Bere Pre Adomo, Bere Pre Eid, Seleach Umechil, and so forth. Tfile starts with always, with the dawn of our history, with the people lived at the dawn of our history, and climbs up to the apex. When in Simcholim, it speaks as eschatological fulfillment. It starts with Abraham, the father whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the great promise, and we conclude with Simcholim. Simcholim doesn't mean peace, Chushev and what's the name? Carter signed the treaty yesterday. Salt too, salt five, huh? It's not salt. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. But Simcholim means between Malchus and Malchut Kadisha. This is the period, the era, when all promises will be fulfilled. It is Simcholim the Broche of complete, absolute fulfillment and realization of all promises. And Tfile climbs slowly, step by step, always Gure Hashem, Chen Adoas, Kabi Sheifo, Valamal Shini Malkesiko, Moshe Shpene Parashen, Moshlaim Nicho Vachem Toshim. You see, systematic, it develops systematically, it grows systematically. And the last broche, concludes all our hopes and all our expectations. The broche of Simcholim. Tfile, there is continuity in Tfile. The benedictions we are divided into private and communal requests. Also, is a private request. And Kaddish for Godel is a communal request, a historic request, and so forth. The omission of a broche, if I should leave out one broche in tefillah, results in repetition, in the duty to repeat the prayer. In word, tefillah is structure. It's a structural entity. There is beauty and completeness and wholeness to tefillah. I cannot, my president, I think the United States had a president, Shani Kiva had to stand at the beginning with him. He was real Inuit, the commissioner in there. Seven in New York. So in Rosh Hashanah, I noticed that he came in, Shachris, and we were saying Shemnesra. So he came over to the Shemnes and asked him, where are they up to? So I thought, clearly, I'll tell him Shemnesra. He says, the third of the Chintim Pardachok. If I want to visualize the opposite, visualize prayer, structured prayer, where there is development and form, continuity and unity, I remind myself, always remind myself of the answer I got from the Shabbos, to say the Chintim Pardachok. There is, anyway, his parallel in Hebrew. We don't know exactly the semantics of his parallel, but it is said that it is associated with what? With thinking. It is associated with thinking. With giving judgment. With discriminating. With discriminating. His parallel, ye follow, I follow, Pinchas, judging. It is associated with a great gesture, intellectual gesture. Where the intellectual gesture reaches great height, so there must be order, there must be unity, there must not be any chaos. This is true. This is a mitzvah d'chogim. This has nothing to do with thought. When a man is in distress, he cannot structure anything. He can just cry and pronounce a few words. Simply, he can say he cannot bear it. It's too heavy, too difficult. But he cannot create anything structurally beautiful. This is Sirocco. In Sirocco, we don't care. In Sirocco, there is no structure to Sirocco. This is the addition of the theory. The addition, that's what the difference is between Tfilo Beholden and Doko Beis and Tzoko in a time of trouble, of suffering. Tfilo Beholden, there is a fixed nusach, there is a fixed text, every word is in its place. I cannot jump or skip or make a leap in another realm, so to say. You have to follow a certain rules of orderliness and development. While Sirocco is it different. I'll give you an example. Let us imagine one is an illiterate. Let's imagine I'll ask you a lucky question. One is an illiterate. Can or all he can is to cry and to weep and to wipe his tears. That's not even. We can only that. All right. But he cannot pronounce the words, cannot read a fixed text. All he can do is to cry, and to dry his tears. And then weep before the Almighty. Is he Yetzer mit Mitzvah Tfilah, if I'll ask you? As far as Tfilah is concerned, there will be no Kiyuma Mitzvah. Tfilah means to spell out, to formulate, to say something, to read, to follow a nusche, a certain text. The meaning is similar to that of create. See, create also, I've got to read. If I don't read, no matter how impressed I am, how much trouble I have to confront. But the structure is indispensable. However, as far as Tzoroko is concerned, the mitzvah which my mind has count is binding, based at Tzoro, is concerned crying and weeping without pronouncing the words constitutes a Kima mitzvah, no doubt about it. What is known to you of Tzoko? Where do you daven not following the principles of Tfilah, the principles of Tfilah we follow, the Tfilah we do recite three times a day, so there's no problem. Did you ever come across Tzoroko? No, in the Shavuot, I would say. Slichas. What is the main Tfilah in Slichas? Mishon ala wala vinim baram ariyo yaneinu, mishon ala yitzog neyu yaneinu, mishon ala yakim yaneinu, Aneinu Hashem, Aneinu, Aneinu Bereinu, Aneinu, Aneinu Gealeinu, Aneinu. Short, not long sentences. There are no broches. There's no arrangement of broches. You don't climb from the old and ancient to the eschatological. There is no structure at all. It is the outcry, the cry of the person who is hopelessly entangled. What? All right. The Ramban says. Yes. And this is a special mitzvah. This is the mitzvah which is limited to Shasa Tzor. While the Holyin is not neither Tzoroko nor Zoroko as far as the second element is concerned, I don't have to call on people to join me. As far as the Holyin is concerned, it is true. Now I want just to add something. The Ramban in his commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos says in answer to the Rambam's objection to the Halachas Beres, that Halachas Beres counted by Chal Meshes, Priya, Hashem Alechot, by Yema, Loma, Hashem, Yad, Chiyach, Rabcho, Vamecho, Shatei, Shomer, Tisfayim, Chiyach, Godel, Yod, Chazoko, as a mitzvah, and Mitayag mitzvah. So the Rambam says, he doesn't understand what's all about. Meshes prayed to the Kaddish Baruch. So why is it a mitzvah and Mitayag mitzvah? The Rambam happens to count fewest among the Tayag mitzvah. But to count a separate mitzvah for Yechal, the Rambam objected to. The Rambam came. Agar Brein said that Halachas Beres means that there's a separate mitzvah to engage in prayer in times of trouble, based at Tzor. That's the Ramban answers in his Asogas. So I have only one question to ask. If it is based at Tzoro, why did Allah reach out for a Chal Meshes, near the Shem HaLetov, while he had a pasuk which is so explicit about the Chayver? Because some of them come about some of the Tzaratzeres, some of the Rambam did. Why did Allah choose by Chal Meshes, Leah, Beshem Lekov, as the mitzvah of Lehis Pale, Lehis Chani, Lachadish Baruch Hu, Beis HaToro? The Rambam himself knows that there is a separate mitzvah Beis HaToro. But the source of that mitzvah is not by Chal Meshes, Leah, Beshem Lekov. But what is the source? Chisor Nuchom Ba'atzchem al Atzara Tzereschem. V'reishim Chatzitzchem. What's the answer? Why do you need both? Why? The answer is I believe the answer is simple. the pasuk v'chisovim l'chom ba'atzchem al atzar atzchem addresses itself to a community, to a situation which is not fully covered by the pasuk v'chisovim l'chom ba'atzchem al atzar atzchem, and that's why the Aruch HaKodesh had to introduce the pasuk v'chal neshes le'ah v'shem alekoh in order to cover certain sectors of the territory which the Rambam, by introducing the Chisolim Muhammad Ba'atzachem, did not cover. What are those sectors? I believe the following is correct. The Chisolim Muhammad Ba'atzachem addresses itself to a community which is confronted with disaster, with distress. Everybody, each member in the community is exposed to danger, to annihilation. Everyone is duty-bound to pray, to petition God, because he is involved. However, nothing is said about mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tefillah, tzoke, zote, whatever it is, about prayer by an individual who is not involved in this tragic situation, and whose existence is not menaced, not at all. He wants to pray simply out of love to save the community. He himself needs no prayer. Is this individual obligated to pray? Chisovim Muhammad Ba'atchem Latzar Atzeres does not give us an answer. Chisovim Muhammad Ba'atchem, the whole population is wrong. One understands the necessity of prayer, the rest doesn't understand and takes it with indifference. That's what the Rambam said, is a mitzvah to tell the people and to show them that not praying, the absence of prayer, means an act of cruelty. But the individual is involved in distress as the whole community. This exactly was the story of Mordechai and Esther. That's what Mordechai sent to, the message he sent to Esther. What did he tell her in the message? You are not safe. But Allah says, Meshe acted differently. Meshe was certainly safe. On the contrary, you become the great nation. Your whole nation will be your descendant. So why are you so much involved? What makes you much involved? He loved the people. People didn't reciprocate when he was in trouble. But he loved the people. And how nations may have the shame of the problem. That's exactly that every Jew should do in every generation. If one community is in trouble and distress, a Jew cannot say, I don't belong to that community. I am saying, this is the person by how nations may have the shame of the problem. And let's just conclude. A strange question rises. The way we have interpreted the psukim, why did the Torah combine the two psukim pertaining to Chatzetres, V'yentim Chasman Ma'adecha, and the pasuk of Chesov Muhammad Ba'ak Shaman Atzeres Etchem, the mitzvah tki and day of crisis, and the mitzvah kriya and day of Yom Tov into one form and one parsha? Why? What is the common denominator which we come across in reading the pasuk of Chisov Muhammad Ba'atchem al Atzar Atzeres and Vareishem Chatzetres, and reading the pasuk of Leinsim Chasner Madechem in Rosh Chodesh? Apparently they express both, express one idea, a common idea, one motif, one thing. What is it? prime facte, the Tierra Petris, as an expression of joy and triumph and gratitude and happiness, and a true by Petris, expressing desolation, whom and fear of total destruction, prime facte, are mutually exclusive. There is no transition. Joy and fear, gratitude and bleed despair, are mutually exclusive. Why is the Chaseitzres? What did the Torah combine both into one function? And of both, you say Chaseitzres is a symbol. The symbol of what? I believe that the common element is to be found in one thing. Man is finite, and his capabilities are limited. Finite capabilities. Whoever says that he has unlimited capabilities is a fool. Not only fool, is the evil of a desire to solve deification. Man is finite. Finite are his existence, of course. Finite are his capabilities. Man cannot resolve the total mysteries of the universe, nor can he achieve perfection. Nor can he achieve anything in totality. Only small segments within creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put at the disposal of man and made them accessible. Only a few, a very narrow street of man, in nature. And they take now these stories in the paper. We have discovered the nuclear energy. At the time of discovery, you don't remember, but I'm old enough to remember. At the time of discovery, the New York Times and the Time Magazine, Newsweek, in all the pseudo-scientific journals and the so-called intellectuals, I mean, began to say that man is going to control the universe. And they had, I mean, figured out how man will change the atmosphere and they will make rain and tell the rain to stop, and so forth and so on. In a word, The discovery of nuclear energy gave man unlimited power in the universe. If it is untrue, you know it. Now, on the contrary, man's limitedness came more to the front, to the foreground, with the discovery of nuclear energy. Man is afraid of his own discovery. He discovers he's a creator, yes. But the next day, he is afraid of the creation. Yes, man was endowed with speech. However, the latter was not given to him in totality. Yes, he is capable to communicate with others, to commune with others. The communication is again limited and is restricted to peripheral problems. Man, for instance, is in joy. He's full of ecstasy. He wants to tell everybody the story of his success, his story of joy and ecstasy. He wants to tell everybody that we are, that we feel deserving of praise when you run home to tell at least our wife. But he wants to hear a word of acceptance and sanction. He runs, and he cannot tell the story, the full story of joy. He wants to express gratitude. He has no words for it. So what does man do if he lacks words? What does man do if he lacks the words to tell a story? Particularly wants to tell the whole story, nothing else but the story. But he feels that what he does is wrong.
it's just the shadow, but not the event itself is being portrayed. We cannot portray it. I mean, I don't have to go far. Many times I have a good memory in my mind. I can't express it. Sometimes in a sheer, I feel that this is what the Rambam had in mind, but I cannot define it. Because I'm limited in my capabilities, I don't know how to talk. I don't have enough words, and the words I have, I cannot combine into sentences, and the sentences cannot be combined into something beautiful. So what does man do? The man is very excited, and at the same time disappointed. He cannot communicate. What does he do? He sings. The melody is more expressive, tells people more than the non-melodious voice or the non-melodious word. What is that? Yes, however, song does not satisfy him either. He's still limited. So what does he do? He grabs the instrument. And he plays on it. Seeking totality as far as communication is concerned. He never finds it. He never finds it. Only a sheikh can say that he has communicated to his friends what he had in mind. The same is true not only of joy and happiness, of fear. Every man suffers from fear. Even Shleiman never suffered. The Tachat Valeris. What a pachat v'leilus is, we don't know. But he was afraid. He suffered from fright of the night. Which lay in hell, and what his pachat consisted. It's not everything. Shleiman was a human being. He was limited. He couldn't communicate his fear, his doubt, his sense of insecurity. So what did Shleiman do? He was just frustrated in his attempt to tell his story. He tried in Kehelet to tell his story. Didn't he try very hard? But what is the last person? Saved over Akil Nishma, years Akil Nishma, was the Kim Yereyus, the face of Schneider. Man is a limited being. And the symbol of man's limitedness, finite, and frustration as far as communication is concerned, is the Hatzetzes, the musical instrument, which man built and constructed in order to express as much as possible. If his tongue cannot do it, so at least his fingers, his nimble fingers. He expects his nimble fingers to make. He is lost. This is the combined, the common denominator. If you saw the Muhammad Ba'at, the Malatzah, the Terah, and the Yosef Hassan, the Dechel, Rosh Hachetan, the Skype, and the Hilah, the Hatzetzes, the Hilah, 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 the H